You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Do you know when the church fathers were revived? The Reformation. In fact, our reformers said, we are going back to the scriptures and the church fathers.
But the deliverer is not come until Christmas. The deliverer doesn't come until Good Friday and Easter. The deliverer, it's not Saul, it's not even David, it is the son of David who sits at the right hand of God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, mysteriously, is already working it in us, and we have this promise that by eating the supper, not only are our sins forgiven, but our body and blood are going to become like his body and blood, risen from the grave.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
Her most famous book has been continuously in print since it was published in the mid-60s. That's a long time. Not only continuously in print, continuously read as well. It is listed by a library association as one of the most challenged books in the American pantheon of books because, well, it's got a lot of stuff in there, including very strong religious overtones. The book, of course, A Wrinkle in Time, a childhood favorite of many by Madeleine L'Engle. We're going to be talking about an interview with the late Madeleine L'Engle, author of the book Wrinkle in Time, with Terry Mattingly here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, March the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later in this hour, we'll do a review of the movie adaptation of A Wrinkle in Time. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., a hymn that is attributed to St. Patrick called His Breastplate, I Bind Unto Myself Today. We'll be studying that hymn with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Joining us to talk about an interview with the late Madeleine L'Engle, author of the book A Wrinkle in Time, a regular guest, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
When you interviewed Madeleine L'Engle, did you have an opportunity to kind of boil it down to what she thought the message of her most famous novel was?
Yes, I did, but she answered that question in a way that links directly to a lot of the discussion, and I would say even controversy, about the current film. And people also forget that there was a total bust of a film from Disney when they tried to do a made-for-TV movie of Wrinkle in Time back in 2004. This is their second crack at the book. And a lot of the controversy focuses on the same issues as last time. Now, I had a chance to spend 2 hours talking with her about the book and then also got to hear her deliver a series of lectures in Denver. This was back in 1989. I was at the Rocky Mountain News there in Denver. And it also helps to know, and I'll confess this right up front, that my wife is a librarian, and Madeleine L'Engle is, to just put it bluntly, her favorite author, and this book would be right at the top of my wife's list. So I've been listening to people discuss this and the controversies about the book pretty much forever in terms of my adult life. Now, if you ask Madeleine L'Engle, what's the heart of this book, which I did, she said, well, I think it would be hard to make a movie about the book that doesn't include two specific passages of Scripture that are in the book. So it's crucial at this point to realize that we're not talking about religious like illusions or whatever, although there's a lot of them. And we can talk about the three amazing women, the W women, Mrs. Who, Mrs. Witch, and Mrs. Watsit. We can talk about them because they're fascinating in terms of religion and the controversies about the book. But if you say, once again, what is the theme of this book? Here's the Bible passage that I think she would say, because she told me, is the theme of the book. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And in this case, the weak things are some remarkable children caught up in a science fiction story trying to wrestle their father away from an ultimate force of darkness, which is not quite evil incarnate, but more like just like a cosmic image of evil. And posed against this, which you can see in all of the Disney advertising, is that this is the light versus the darkness. And it's left just at that level. But if you know anything about Madeleine L'Engle, you have to back up for a second and say, okay, this thing about light, what did she have to say about that? Well, there's another passage in the book where the question is specifically asked, what is the light? What are we talking about? And this angelic, they're guardian angels, quite frankly. In the second book, they appear as cherubim. The guardian angel, Mrs. Who never speaks except in quotations. She never speaks for herself. She only quotes things. So once again, asked to explain the power of the light, Mrs. Who says, "The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Okay. Would you say those are something a little bit more significant than religious themes or allusions?
Yeah, and I think they probably take it into a different realm than other literature that have been popular with young people as well that have that kind of cast to it, in particular C.S. Lewis and the stuff he's written.
It's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, in the sense that as explicit as the allegory and the symbolism is in something like the Chronicles of Narnia, until Aslan begins to speak, in some cases you don't have strict scriptural stuff. That's, you know, that's really amazing things, and these occur at climactic and pivotal moments in the book. And she said that it would be very hard to do the book as a movie and have it be comprehensible if you don't have those passages.
You had mentioned that there have been almost from the beginning controversies about this book, even before people were contemplating putting it on film. How would you summarize that?
Well, I would simply say that Madeleine L'Engle is an Episcopalian's Episcopalian, which brings up the irony of it all that among her biggest fans in the world of literature are evangelical Protestants. When she died, she left all of her papers to Wheaton College to go in the same center with a lot of the papers of C.S. Lewis, you know, and other authors. Yet at the same time, many of her fiercest critics are evangelical Protestants. So when people say that the book is on the list of books in which people have tried to get it banned, what they're referring to is evangelical and some, I would say accurately, fundamentalist Protestants who view this book as too liberal, in that there's a section where they say, well, who stands for the light? And the brilliant Charles Wallace immediately says Jesus. And then they go on to list a whole bunch of other figures who have fought on behalf of light. And included in that are some other, you know, religious figures, such as Buddha, you know, whatever. So you have what many evangelicals interpreted as a universalism image, Then you have the fact that Mrs. Witch, who is the character played in this new film by Oprah Winfrey, Mrs. Witch shows up and clearly is making a pun. This is Mrs. Witch, W-H-I-C-H. But she shows up in a peaked hat with a broom, you know, and raggedy black clothes and a long beaked nose, laughing at herself because of her own inside joke. Engel loved to say, can't these people spell? W-H-I-C-H is not W-I-T-C-H. So there were people who accused the book of being veiled, frankly, either Wicca or paganism, of New Age. And there was an entire book written opposing A Wrinkle in Time, which basically accuses it of being part of the New Age movement, which it was a bizarre thing to have written in 1963, long before the New Age movement. And the book had actually been written longer than that. I mean, this is one of those famous cases, like all those record companies that turned down a little band called the Beatles, are all those dozens of publishing companies who passed on Harry Potter and probably regret that now, financially regret that. Wrinkle in Time was turned down, I believe, 26 times by publishers. So the book, she spent a long time on the book. It was written late 50s, early 60s. And then, of course, it went on to become a part of a series of books about this remarkable family that are at the heart of it.
Did she regard herself as an author of Christian literature?
Well, yes and no. The column that I wrote flashing back to that 1989 interview, it ends with the following quote, which I'll just read for listeners. I have been brought up to believe that the gospel is to be spread. It is to be shared, not kept for those who already have it, she said. Well, Christian novels, and she did her fingers with scare quotes, you know, Christian novels reach Christians. They don't reach out. I am not a Christian writer. I am a writer who is a Christian. And then she laughed and said, well, now if I'm truly a Christian, then it will show up in my work. If I am not truly a Christian, then that too is going to show up in my work, whether I want it to or not. And the phrase, I'm not a Christian writer, I'm a writer who is a Christian, is a paraphrase, of course, of C.S. Lewis in his famous quote that the world did not need more Christian writers. The world needed more Christians who are willing to do the hard work of being writers for everyone, writing with their faith latent. So Engel is well aware when she says that she's paraphrasing C.S. Lewis.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Terry Mattingly about an interview that he did with the late Madeleine L'Engle, author of the book A Wrinkle in Time. Terry, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. Why has this book remained read and in print for more than 50 years? We'll answer that question after this.
What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraff of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraff making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It's time for the 5th annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 17th and 18th, added to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of over 70 exhibitors and partners. Admission and parking are free. Hear home and garden speakers from Frisella's Nursery and Mosby Building Arts. See a monster truck from Dex's Tree Service. Meet radio personalities and Fred Bird, too. Participate in the Cardinal Glennon Safety Fair, child fingerprinting and fire safety, and take advantage of pet adoption, electronic recycling, and shredding services on site. Register to win a fire pit from Outdoor Creations and an all-inclusive trip for two at an AM resort courtesy of Jadina Tweston at Travel One and Fun Jet Vacations. Restrictions apply. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, CJDE Recycling, Scott Credit Union, Mosquito Joe's, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Show details can be found at MEHGS.org or on Facebook.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an interview with the late Madeline Lengel, author of the book A Wrinkle in Time. Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, let's talk about its staying power, continuously in print from the time it was first published, which is saying something, and is still being, at least according to kind of educational sources, still being used in classrooms, still being bought and read by young people. How do you account for this?
Well, I think there are several reasons for that. One is the book openly embraces and celebrates science and the natural world. So you're dealing with a book of, obviously of tremendous Newbery Award level youth fiction that English departments are going to just rave about. And then at the same time, at the heart of this is this family full of remarkable scientists. Now, I don't know a lot of books that hit both notes of that as hard as A Wrinkle in Time does. Second, I would mention that the family at the heart of this book really is remarkable. And I want to stress something here. If you get online and you read up on the controversies around this current Disney film, it's getting a lot of attention because it was directed by a well-known African-American woman. And they made the decision in casting the movie to cast Oprah Winfrey as kind of this dominant spiritual figure, Mrs. Witch. And then also they created the family. They left out a couple of the children, turned Charles Wallace into an adopted son, and then the family is biracial. So you have very strong themes of race. In all of the articles that I have read about the movie and panning the movie or attacking the movie, and it's doing very poorly at the box office in terms of what was expected, I haven't seen a single conservative Christian or any other source, Catholic, whatever, that has had anything critical to say about the racial element being added to this film. What they're upset about is the changes in the basic storyline, the story structure, story contents, and the fact that there are zero biblical references in the film in terms of quotations from Scripture, and there are a lot of those. The one explicit reference to Jesus is taken out. Very interesting passage involving the book of Genesis, gone. And so I think religion is at the heart of the debates about the book, whether you like the book or hate the book, religion's at the heart of that. But you have science, you have family, and I don't know how to say this. This book is really beloved of young nerds. I would say that all over America and around the world, there are nerdy, brilliant kids with spectacles who just love this book because it celebrates them like crazy. This is all about the power of the weak and those who, the kids that don't have a lot of self-confidence and feel like they're strange and kind of have been passed over. Those are the children who are at the center of this book and the books that came after it. And she wrote books about this family that go on into the next generation as well. So I think family, science, and nerds, I think that's the magic formula for the success of this book.
Is some of the criticism of the latest incarnation of this in film, I agree that religion is at the heart of it, but I want to press on that a little bit. Is some of that criticism simply the second thing you mentioned there, and that is you are messing with the canon of a deeply beloved youth book that is, this is like leaving out, you know, one of the characters in Lord of the Rings or changing the composition of the family in the Chronicles of Narnia. You simply don't do that to this book's fan base.
Well, I mean, this is interesting because I actually had a chance to interview Peter Jackson at the time when the Lord of the Rings movies were coming out. And he said something that I wish he had remembered when he was, from my opinion, butchering The Hobbit into some sort of massive video game trilogy. But Peter Jackson made a comment. He said, the more we researched The Lord of the Rings, the more it hit us, how in the world would it benefit us to make radical changes in the essential symbols and themes of The Lord of the Rings? Here you have one of the most popular books in the history of planet Earth. You know, in the recent history, it has a loyal fan base that verges on being rabid. I mean, just in terms of their fierce devotion to this book. I can give you one example of this from my own family. When my son-in-law got serious about asking out my daughter, he wrote letters to her in Elvish and put them under her door. Okay, that's a fan base, right? Their wedding cake had the opening lines of the Orthodox wedding ceremony written in Elvish, winding around the cake. Okay, when you're dealing with fans that are that devoted, and Engels' A Wrinkle in Time is one of those books that people care about that much, why is it in your financial interest to tick them off? It's a question to ask. Now, I'm sure they did all this in the terms of trying to make it a broader audience and make it more international. I mean, like maybe if you quote scripture, it's not going to play as well in the Muslim world or in China or something like that. I'm sure they had cross-cultural reasons for making the changes they did. But at the same time, you are guaranteeing yourself fierce anger from some of the people who should have been lining up to see this movie the night it came out.
One more question for you with about a minute and a half before we have to wrap it up. One of the things that that annoys me about when I like it when they make good books into films, I do. But what annoys me about it is from that point forward in time for all eternity, I can never read the book again without picturing the star of the film instead of the character that was crafted in my imagination there. And they do it well. They capture your imagination pretty well. But what do you think about a generation of Wrinkle in Time readers who will never again be able to read this book without picturing Oprah Winfrey?
Well, in this case, it helps that the character in the book looks nothing like the character in the movie. I mean, it's not like Gandalf suddenly turned into the movie's version of Gandalf, and it looks a lot like in the book, so you picture, you know, Ian McKellen running around. The Oprah character looks nothing like the character in the book. They may, and this is my wife's hope, is that the movie will drive a lot of people to read the book, and that the book is so starkly different that it might stand on its own, and that sort of phenomena might not occur. At the same time, this is another example of why in my family, when my children were growing up, we never went to the theater to see a movie until my children had already had the entire book read to them.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much for your time.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to review that movie that we just discussed briefly, A Wrinkle in Time. Our regular movie reviewer, Pastor Ted Geese, will be our guest. We'll talk about the changes that were made from the canon of the book, and we'll talk about the stars. Does it come across as a good movie nonetheless? And who is Disney's audience in its remake of A Wrinkle in Time? We'll answer those questions, Pastor Ted Geese, after this.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.